Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
A very good Thursday morning to everybody. Welcome here to 560 WQAM and a happy 4th of July. Hope everybody is doing well. I don't know how many people are up early with us this morning, but Greg Likens alongside Dave Hyde, Matt the Biff Wilson on the other side of the glass. This is the crew. We're going to take you up until 10 o'clock, filling in for the big dog Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. And Dave, it's good to see you as always. You were here yesterday with the big dog.
I filled in for Zach.
Yes.
And I guess I'm filling for Zach again. You're filling in for Joe Rose.
So. I suppose so, yeah.
We're the leftovers, the 4th of July. That's good Jimmy Buffett. We got a little cheeseburger. That's like sort of the hot dog idea of... Right?
It's the hot dog of the South, we'll call it.
Hot dog of the South, okay. So
I think Biff is very perceptive, and he may or may not have heard us talking about the Keys, and all of a sudden he played a little Jimmy Buffett. Right?
Yeah, I felt like I was back. I just had a Keys vacation, so I feel like I was back there on the quiet waters.
It's where we should be right now.
Well, I will say this. I mean, I'm happy to be here. We're going to have a fun show. We have a lot of things to talk about in the world of sports and otherwise. But driving in, normally this time of the day, you know, if you feel it on this show, and I used to work on this show, and Biff is used to this. Like yesterday when you came in, Dave, there's a few cars in the parking lot. This morning it's literally just us.
It's us.
And Rick the janitor, right? And then that's it. Like nobody else is here in this building. And which is fine, but I guess the music station is just an automation. So
I'm just wondering, are we managing our lives better or worse that we're the ones here? That's what I'm not sure of. I'm gonna have to consider that for a while.
Yeah, I mean, 4th of July, I think the good thing is, Biff and I were talking about this before we came on the air, at least, you know, we get a little work in, we talk our sports, and then we can enjoy the rest of the day. And so, you know, fireworks later, whatever the plans are. Do you do it up big for 4th of July, Dave, or... What are your typical plans on Independence Day?
Typical plans would be usually there's somebody having a cookout or something. Once in a while, us, but not today. And then at night, the last few years I haven't. But you can walk down and where I live in the Grove. You can and walk close to the water and look at like four or five different fireworks going off. You know, cities. So I do that. I don't know. We have nothing on the docket today. How about you?
My fiance has invited some friends and family over. So
you're barbecuing. You're grilling.
We're doing that. And I told her, I said, well, there's no guarantee that I won't take a nap during the time that they're here.
Well, when you said we could just get our little work in and go, I'm thinking, well, yeah, I'll go home and I'll take a nap. Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Well, she's got like some of her cousins and stuff, and they've got young kids. They want to come over and hang out and all this. And they want to come early because they've got young kids. And then the rumor I heard last night is they want to come early and have them come over and like go in the pool and stuff and get them worn out. But I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm going to get home and be worn out. You know, like they're talking about coming over like 10:30 in the morning. And I'm like, my goodness. Well,
what time
fine.
Do they wear out their kids?
Well, that's what I wanted to know. I mean, I don't know what the plan is, but I said, hey, listen. So last night, like I was working on the afternoon show yesterday. And I got home and then like basically just had to help get the place ready, and then her mom came over, we're cleaning things up, all this stuff, and find like They're obsessive about this. And finally, I said, I got to go to bed. Like, I got to see Dave in the morning. Like, I, you know, I got to get
you gotta be looking good.
A few hours of sleep. And so, yeah, so they were up till all hours of the night getting everything ready. So all I'm doing, Dave, is getting out of here. I'm going to make a phone call the moment we leave the studio and say, do you need me to stop by Publix to get anything last minute? Which inevitably I will.
Need some ice.
Yeah, whatever it is. And then I'll get home, and then hopefully things get started. But I am planning to take a little nap at some point because
What do we got though? Are you grilling hot dogs? Is that and hamburgers? Well, that's sort of the
Okay, a couple of things. There was everything's all like last minute, right? That tends to be the case with her and her family. And so initially she wanted to, you know, like get food from somewhere, you know, not as a cater, but, you know, get a big order of food from someplace locally. But of course, didn't do that in far enough in advance. So now this is turning into we're going to, you know, grill out and all this stuff. And so I was talking to Channing Crowder about this yesterday, and he was giving me a hard time. He said, wait, you're not just like a hot dog and hamburger type of guy, are you? I said, well, what's wrong with that?
It's 4th of July.
Yeah. And I was like, you know,
he really spruces it up some, right? More than that.
He said, hey, if I'm going to show up to your barbecue, which, by the way, he wasn't invited and he's not even in town. So, but he goes, if I'm going to show up to your barbecue, he's like, there's got to be more than that. You got to get some chicken, some ribs.
I knew pork butt.
He wants all sorts of crazy stuff.
You basically need to be a barbecue joint. That's what he wants you to do.
Yes. So he wants an elaborate set up in terms of the spread. And Dave, I don't know.
I'm not that guy. I'm a simple on especially on a day like this.
Yes.
All American. Hot dogs and hamburgers. Now they better be good hot dogs. I don't want that cheap filler crap. You know, it's bad enough eating a hot dog to begin with. Much less, you know, I would love to have a hot dog contest, you know, who could eat the most hot dogs at your you know, maybe go after Joey Chestnut and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, so
you want to get the kids, put them down. Of course, you might send them to the medical unit, but give them like four so you can eat the most hot dogs from the kids.
Yeah, you're right. That's one way to wear them out, right? My goodness.
You know, that just seems like a choking hazard, honestly. If I was a kid doing it, I'd try to really do it, and I just wouldn't care about how I'm eating it.
Well, so we had a little controversy here at the station involving a hot dog eating contest. I don't know if you heard about this.
I haven't heard this.
So on the midday show, Dan Day, who's producing now, he's been pumping this up like for the last couple of weeks with Alex Donald, because Donald likes to talk about food. He and Frito will talk about food and all this other stuff. And I know they had some competitive eaters on in the build up to the hot dog eating contest. So Dan Day kept hyping up that after the show yesterday, he was going to attempt to eat 10 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. And they were going to like live stream it or, you know, of course, that's what you do this day.
Radio, of right.
Of course,
right.
Right.
Stuff.
And so then I see him yesterday and I said, hey, Dan, today's the day. When's this happening? Are you doing it like out here? I didn't know where it was going to take place. And he goes, oh, no. He had this like sheepish look on his face. I said, what's going on, man? He said, well, I got a call yesterday from some of the folks at corporate.
Oh, my God. What is it with this place?
And he's like, yeah, we're not allowed to do that. And
that was like when Zach wanted to go catch a punt. Remember that? At the Dolphin?
And
they called it off because he might get hurt.
Well, let's be real. Do you think Zach's actually going to catch it? I thought he'd
no,
catch
that
it off
would
his
be
head.
The that would be the great amusement of
yes.
all. Zach trying to catch a punt, but especially a professional punt, one of those coming out of the sky.
Yes,
you know, like a. Like a bird or something like that, and trying to catch that. And Zach, like, you know, the corporate lawyers called him and told him he couldn't do it because he might get hurt. And now even a hot dog, is he 2 years old? He might get the hot dog caught in his throat?
I'm not sure what the liability issue is, right? I mean, if you or myself or Biff decide we want to eat a bunch of hot dogs at once – I suppose as long as you don't affiliate the radio station, what's to stop us from doing it, right?
Other than common sense.
Yeah, well, right, yeah. So
yeah, I don't get it. I don't get that. The whole problem there with lawyers stepping in.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, was Zach attempting?
So he used the excuse, I'm not going to do it because lawyers, right?
That's what he claimed.
Yeah, so. I think that's a weak. Like with Zach, I said that was a weak out, you know?
So you think this was just manufactured? I mean, that's something you can just say very generically, and what are we going to do, yeah. Right?
Like, the lawyers. The lawyers said I can't do it.
Like when we say, well, who are the lawyers? And they could just say whatever names, and we wouldn't know the difference. But what you're proposing is that I have my own hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, right, okay. Right.
Biff, or you, it sounds like this is something you want to be a part of.
Yes, but no. I don't know. I don't know how many hot dogs I can really eat in like a span of time. Because I'm like, I like hot dogs, but I get tired.
I got faith in you. I got faith. You could do it. Especially lining up with like 4-year-olds, you know.
I don't know. They could be tough challenges, you know. They know how to eat with their hands. You know, I use like fork and knives. I'd be cutting it up too much. It'd be terrible.
A fork and knife with the hot dog?
Well, that's how fancy folk eat it, don't they?
Wait, a fork and a knife? What, are we serving tea with the hot dogs, too?
I mean, maybe we could be. I mean, who knows?
Where did you grow up eating hot dogs?
Like that. Why would I do it? I was just making a joke. You know, you have to be older, and, you know, it's a more like fancier crowd. It was a horrible joke.
You have to parade the hot dogs if you're older.
Biff, come on, man. This is, from what I've heard, that joke was as weak as your basketball game, because I've heard about that, too.
Oh, my God. You hear from Solana, the liar?
Well, I don't know, but Dave, have you heard the controversy?
I heard snippets of scores like 2-1. I remember thinking, what kind of a game is that?
Oh, yeah, no, the scores were that low. I will give you guys the real scoop on it if you guys want, because I'm not biased.
All right, we'll do that in a little bit. We'll get to that.
We'll tease people with the 2-1 real truth.
Oh, my goodness. But getting back to 4th of July, so you got a pretty low-key day planned.
Low-key, yeah, nothing that I know of. Now, when I get home, there's a few options, like friends are going to call, and we'll have to see what's going to happen here.
Okay, so things can change. Yeah.
Anybody has any good idea, just text me what we should do.
I like the thought of being by the water with seeing all the different fireworks. So that works out
pretty well. Yeah, we walk down there, take the dog and whoever wants to go in the neighborhood and go down there, and you see Miami Beach, Key Biscayne, South Miami, downtown Miami. It's whoever else is Coral Gables sometimes. So, you know, that. Are you into fireworks?
I like seeing fireworks, but
I don't like working to see fireworks, though. You know, I want them to throw up in front of me, you know, where I like one of my neighbors has a balcony, on the roof. You can climb up on the roof and you get a nice vantage point. I might hit up that neighbor and do that.
Yeah, that's fun. Like, I'm not the type of person who likes to go buy fireworks and set them off and all that stuff, but yeah, a good fireworks display. Although, you know, I remember like growing up, it was a big deal. Like when you're a kid, it was a big deal to go see the fireworks. And so, you know, whether here in South Florida, when I was, you know, living in the Chicago area, it was always a big deal. You'd show up early and there's a, you know, big crowd and all, you know, your friends and families, everybody would be there. And you go, like in the town I lived, you just go over by the lake, a very small lake, but they'd set off the fireworks on one end and everybody would be on the other end. It was a huge deal, right? It's like, oh, yeah, let's go see the fireworks.
In the Midwest, I think July 4th is a bigger community event. Now, maybe times have changed and it's not. You know, maybe in the when I grew up, it was, you know, there was a parade in my small town, and then there were competitive events like climbing the greased pole and three legged, three back. I mean, this is like something from Norman Rockwell when I look back on it, but the whole town came out for this type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, in the town that I lived in, there was a parade every 4th of July, and then the kids, it would be a big deal. You could decorate your bike, right? In like red, white, and blue streamers and
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then you ride in the parade.
Ride in the parade,
and,
you know, yeah.
Your parents take pictures and stuff of it. In like the separate little neighborhood that we lived in for a while, there would be like literally a different like bike parade and all the kids in the neighborhood. And, it, you know, as I got older, it just turned into me and my friends, even though it wasn't a race, like it was a parade, but we viewed it as, hey, we want to be the first to finish. So everybody would start off slow and all the little kids, and it would be really cute and all this, and then we'd zoom by everybody, right? You know, and we thought it was really fun and really cool. And then in reality, there was no prize at the end. It was just you know, we'd finish first, and we'd have to wait for everybody to catch back up. Well, 4th of July was a big deal.
We would have bottle rocket fights. Now, when I think of lawyers involved and all that stuff.
That sounds dangerous.
We would, you fire bottle rockets at each other from across the street, you know. And now I'm thinking about that. I would kill my kids if they had done something like that. But at the time, nobody, you know, it was a less litigious society, I guess.
Very, very good point on a number of different fronts. But you're like, isn't that kind of in a nutshell the way things have evolved? Like
now we can't even eat hot dogs.
We can't eat hot dogs on our own time after a show and put it on social
media.
As
a joke.
Right, exactly.
You're going to eat 10 hot dogs. No. How many can you eat? How many that's the question. How many could you eat? How many of the Lord's? You can only eat 4 hot dogs.
Right.
Anything over 4. You know, you're going to suffer discipline.
You can't eat more than 4, and you have to make sure that you pace yourself properly, right? Like, don't try to do 1 a minute. You know, we've got a certain amount of time in which you can eat 1 hot dog. Yeah.
You know, Joe and I were talking about this. There was a Shula's would have a steak eating contest, and the media was a couple years I did it. 48 ounces, the big steak. And, you know, I discovered a latent talent I have of just, I could just put that away with no problem. And, I just blew away the competition. You know,
yeah.
It was one of these great talents late in life you discover in yourself. And I think I could have been Joey Chestnut, you know,
you put away a 48-ounce steak, do you do it quickly? Or
it's a race with,
there were
like 5 other media types there. I got a nice plaque. The Shula's had a nice plaque, but I'm thinking now their lawyers probably shut it down. At some point it stopped, and the lawyer, I can imagine, probably the same corporate lawyer came here and said, well, "Hey, we can't do this anymore. What happens if someone chokes?"
Right. Well, that's at some of these burger joints and stuff over the years, they'd have like a promotion where if you could eat like a 2-pound burger in like 15 minutes or something, you get like free burgers for a year. You know, like something like that. I feel like those types of things have gone away.
The Heat had an all you can eat section. Yeah, this is this is one of their bad years, like 2008, they went 15 wins. I remember I was looking around for a column to do. And I said, you know what, I'm going to call these a competitive eater, one of these hot dog guys, and I'm going to take them to the all-you-can-eat section. And I left messages to 2 guys. They got back to me. So I said, I'll bring them. They were like, I didn't even know that they were ranked. I didn't know they had rankings, but there's ranked. And they came. They met me at the arena, and we went to the that section, and I started ordering them hot dogs. And they ate so many, they emptied the all-you-can-eat section of hot dogs. I didn't know that was possible. In the 4th quarter, we went, or 3rd quarter, whatever, and said, okay, you know, 4 more, we don't have any left. What do you mean? It's all you can eat. They emptied them out.
They emptied them out in the entire stadium?
They
didn't go bother to get more?
They had all these gross sweat, you know, hot dog sweats, meat sweats in their face. It was disgusting.
So how many hot dogs would you say?
You know, I think they only ate between them, I would say, 40 or something like that.
40 hot dogs.
But you imagine eating 20 hot dogs?
By the 3rd quarter? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was gross.
Oh, and you're there to document it all, right?
Oh, yeah, I wrote a column about it. Yeah. We emptied it out. We dog days at the Heat Arena or whatever.
I understand that these two, it's kind of a superhuman feat, but that's kind of a false advertising in that promotion, huh? Right?
Yeah, I ripped them. I just,
I mean, all you can eat, and then you run out of hot dogs.
They had room for at least 10 more hot dogs each, you know?
And they needed them, right? Yeah, they desperately needed them.
You know, the amazing thing about the competitive eaters is they're not big guy. Like Joey Chestnut, or no, not Joey Chestnut. Who's the other guy?
Kobayashi.
Kobayashi, 125 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know why? They're purging immediately after they're throwing up those hot dogs.
That's got to be one of the unhealthiest things you can do. But you know what? It's interesting you bring that up. Biff, we will get to the bottom of this basketball story. We're going to open up the text lines. And anybody wants to chime in here on this 4th of July, feel free to do so. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22, 560-22. We're mentioning the competitive eating and all of that. I don't know, Dave, we'll talk about this after the break, if you happen to catch the 30 for 30 on this. But there was an interesting outrage about this.
I saw Peter King's tweet. Yeah, did you see that?
I wanted to talk about that. So we'll come back if you missed what Peter King had to say about the 30 for 30 about the hot dog eating contest. We'll talk about that when we come back here on QAM. Happy 4th of July to everybody. Welcome back here to QAM. We're going to try not to be American idiots today, but we are celebrating Independence Day here on QAM. Greg Likens alongside Dave Hyde, Matt the Biff Wilson with us as well as we continue on here. If you want to get involved in the show, we encourage you to do so via the text line, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. 560-22 is how you reach the program. We've been talking a little 4th of July so far, and Dave mentioned before the break that two nights ago, they debuted the 30 for 30 documentary, The Good, the Bad, the Hungry. And this was just basically all about the inner workings of the Nathan's hot dog eating contest and major league eating and the rivalry between Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut and all of that.
Rivalry. One day makes their year.
It's
right?
just the thought of yeah. Well, and then like I didn't actually see that, but I, you know, kind of know the background of, like, Kobayashi has been basically disqualified from major league eating because he refuses. I guess major league eating is very strict, in which they will only allow any of their competitors to compete in their events. And if you compete in any other events around the world, anything like that, you're not allowed to be in major league eating. So Kobayashi, over the years, has competed in other events that aren't sanctioned by major league eating.
What is this, like pro wrestling or something like that?
Essentially. And so that's why he's not involved in the hot dog eating contest
anymore.
Well,
good for Kobayashi, but yeah, making a stand on eating in a Yugoslavian, you know, hot dog contest or whatever. You know?
You know, if there's a bratwurst eating contest in Germany, then
he's there.
He's there. If they, you know, on some fish and chips in England, wherever.
Pickled salmon in Norway, you know, he's putting that down.
Yeah, like major league eating. Okay, listen, you can have your hot dog eating contest. Major league eating has other events, but So that, you know, the 30 for 30, I didn't see it. I saw some clips of it and all this other stuff.
It's sort of like the hot dog eating contest. I've never seen it. I don't really want to watch it. But
I've never watched it.
But I mean, I've seen the highlight on ESPN or something. You know, the highlight meaning, I gotta admit, I have a moral problem with this, which is, it's sort of, and I said this with Joe yesterday, how they eat the hot dog is ethically wrong. You know, you shouldn't be able to separate the bread from the hot dog and dunk the bread. You eat it like a real person eats a hot dog. And that's how they said, you know, the World Food Contest or whatever?
Major League Eating.
They ought to demand, and Nathan's especially, nobody eats Nathan's the way they put them down there, right? Demand you eat it and maybe put a little, look, you don't have to put relish on it. I would. But or onion or mustard or whatever, but eat it like a real man eats hot dogs.
Yeah, and not like the Biff who uses a fork and knife to cut up his
hot dog. I've never heard of that.
Pinkies up when you do it, by the way.
Okay, yeah, like Alex Morgan, right, sipping tea. So
I thought she was taking a hit off of a hit off like a doobie or something.
Yeah,
the way
you know,
she
you're
did
not
it.
Wrong for that at first. I thought that too.
Is that
I
right?
I really did think that too. Yeah,
that's
no,
what
I didn't get it.
That's what Crowder thought as well. Well, you know, and it's what's interesting about that is that Chris Long, who now that he's come out and has admitted that while he was in the NFL, he was smoking marijuana and whatever. He actually responded. I saw on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this in the aftermath of that win and I guess the controversy, I say with air quotes, about the tea sipping celebration. People who misconstrued it as her, you know, maybe smoking something. He said, "Hey, I've never seen somebody smoke a joint with their pinky up." that was his contribution to the dialogue about
pinkies
it.
Pinkies up sounds like a slogan, you know.
It does. So you're asserting that if the hot dog eating contest wants to be genuine, that the participant should eat a hot dog like the rest of us.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you can't, or just have classifications. So, like chess. Chess has speed chess. It has classical chess. You know, there's bullet chess. Do it. Okay, here's classical hot dog eating contest. Okay, you're eating it like a real person, you know.
With some toppings on there, too.
Yeah, whether you want it empty or not, you know, that's up to you. But eat it with the hot dog in the bun would be the classification.
I think that's fair, right? Because the way they're doing it, I mean, yeah, nobody eats.
Nobody, and it's disgusting. You dunk the bread. And that really turns me off.
You don't like watery bread?
I don't think anybody does, right? Bread's not meant to be eaten watery. No, not at all. Although I guess it's easier; it goes down easier.
And maybe that's the idea.
Maybe it comes up easier as well after the event.
Here's the question: 30 for 30 did this show, which I haven't seen either. Which it tells me, first of all, 30 for 30 is running out of shows to do. But second of all, did they show them throwing up afterwards? Because that would be the story to me. That definitely. There's no way Kobayashi is 125 pounds when he's eating. How many hot dogs do they even throw down here? Like in the 60s?
60 or 70. Yeah.
60. There's no way. And I get it, it's one time a year, but he's going to all these other festivals.
Yeah, they're eating all sorts of
food. He's Persian, you know, that would be a great film clip of following Kobayashi after his, no doubt, after his media interview, comes right after the food he's eating. You know, he's off television, couple of questions, reporters, where's the restroom? Just follow him right in there.
Hidden camera in the restroom? The seedy underbelly of major league eating?
The seedy underbelly. Get into the truth.
Yeah. Well, so Peter King, who does a great job, of course, covering the NFL, and, always, it used to be the Monday morning quarterback column, but now it's the Football Morning in America column. Now he's with NBC Sports. And so, you know, during the football season, even out of football season, does a terrific job. Occasionally he'll chime in, like the rest of us, if we've got, you know, something on our mind. I did not think that we'd have a Peter King hot take about a 30 for 30 documentary.
Hot take of hot dogs.
Yeah, about the hot dog eating contest. And so for those who didn't hear this or didn't read it, Peter King tweeted, quote, "ESPN and at 30 for 30 franchise has done some really great docs and journalism. A shame that as at least a fifth of children in America go to bed hungry nightly, they're highlighting gluttony, treating someone who overeats excessively as a competitive athlete, truly disgusting," end quote. Now, what did you make of this, Dave?
I am shocked he doesn't think these are competitive athletes. That is stunning to me. Are you kidding? These are. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but let's get this is athletic an event as no. I mean the gluttony thing. It's I get where he's going, and I'm not gonna. You know, it is hot dog eating content. I'm not gonna make my big stand here. Damn it, this is not gluttony. I've seen gluttony.
Well, like, my takeaway from this was I was like, wow, I didn't realize that anybody was taking this so seriously.
There you go.
Like, it's like Major League Eating in and of itself. I've heard George Shea is the commissioner, and he's a frequent guest on with Hawk and Crowder in the afternoon. And the interviews they do with him are hilarious because Hawkman pretends to take it very, very seriously. This guy, I think, I don't know, I don't want to speak for him, but it sounds like he pretends to take it extremely seriously. And they stay in character the entire time they're talking about all this stuff as if it's life and death. Like, as if all of this, you know how we talk about NBA free agency.
They're going to get instant replay and competitive.
Right, they got to go to VAR just to double check to see if they dip the bun properly.
Well, they should, just in case, you know, a little smidge of the hot dog goes away. They don't eat the whole bun. They shouldn't get the hot dog. Well,
there you go. You might have to remove a mark from their total at the end of it. But they, you know, they take this very seriously. But at the end of the day, you know, even though these events, and we get this one televised, on the whole, it's a food eating contest.
Like, we know.
Not just a food eating contest. It's a hot dog. Right. Hot dog. The clown of foods, right?
Yes.
I mean, could you have a bigger joke of a contest than a hot dog eating contest?
No. The spirit of this is like ridiculousness. Like, this is, you know, this whole thing, yes, it's gluttony and the whole deal, but it's like, I didn't know that anybody really took this seriously.
It would be, here's the cinematic parallel. A food fight in a movie, and you're saying, oh my God, people are going hungry and they're having a food fight in the scene. Oh, look at all that wasted food. That would be sort of the parallel to what's going on here with the hot dog eating contest.
Right. So, you know, Peter King, I suppose, I understand where he's coming from to a certain degree, but at the same time, if he's criticizing ESPN and 30 for 30 for highlighting this, it's like, well, it's still happening. Like, whether they highlight it or not, like, the events are going on. I suppose his point is that don't elevate it even more if he feels it's a real problem. But, I found, not just with this, but generally speaking, and this is why, like, social media is great in many respects and in other respects not so much. And there's all different opinions out there. But I find, Dave, that more and more I see stuff popping up in my timeline where people are outraged by things. Like, even the idea of sipping tea as a celebration for a goal. Like, people get outraged so easily these days. And I often wonder, like, can everybody take a step back and put things into perspective? Like, is this the most important thing in the world? Because you're acting like it is right now. When many times, like, this to me, when I read Peter King doing this, I know it reminded me of kind of like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, right? Like, you know, the guy, get off my lawn and all this stuff. It's like, Peter King, don't we have a lot of other more pressing needs in the world than you being upset about a hot dog eating contest?
See, I mentioned this with Joe yesterday, the Clint Eastwood film clip it reminds me of is in Dirty Harry, where he's talking with his partner about hot dogs. He goes, we got, and it's on YouTube. You can do Clint Eastwood hot dogs, I believe, and it comes up. And he says, in general, he's talking about, we have awful crime in this city. We have murderers. We have rapists. We have, you know, tortured people around. But the most disgusting thing I've seen is you putting ketchup on a hot dog. That is the Clint Eastwood film clip for the day. You know, anybody who puts ketchup on a hot dog really should be, not to overdo it, but maybe they should spend an hour with Peter King talking about hot dog eating contests.
There you go. Now, what is your preferred condiment or topping on?
Oh, onions. Yeah.
Onions.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Biff? What do you put on your hot dog when you're cutting it up?
You know, I put some ketchup and mustard on the side sometimes.
What? You put ketchup on a hot dog?
It's what us millennials do, you know. We don't take those norms.
I got to admit, like, Dave's not going to like either of us because I only put ketchup on my hot dogs.
Oh, my God. We got to find this clip. We got to find this Dirty Harry clip. We can play it. And after you hear it, you will agree ketchup does not belong on a hot dog.
I've heard this, you know, over time, but I don't understand why that is because I just personal preference. I've had mustard on the hot dog. I'm not a fan of mustard on the hot dog. I don't like that mix.
I like you. You're going after conventional boundaries. That's what you're doing here, right?
That's what I'm known for. Yeah.
And Biff too. The millennial. He brings the millennial thing into it. Like, this is, he's really attacking the societal norms here.
Well, I think what Biff is referencing when he's claiming that he cuts up with a fork and knife his hot dog is like the Seinfeld episode where they're cutting up Snickers. Right?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know that because he's a millennial. He's never seen that Seinfeld, have you?
I don't know if I've seen that. I've heard that one before. I don't know if I've seen that Seinfeld.
But he's heard of Seinfeld.
Good. That's good.
That's the one with
Jerry
Eddie
Seinfeld. Eddie Murphy.
I know Jerry Seinfeld.
You say Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, he does the car ride show, right?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does the car ride show.
Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. Dave, we got some people chiming in here. One of our texters this morning says, in reference to what you were bringing up with 4th of July in South Florida compared to, say, like the Midwest, somebody says, not as big a community event here because no one is from here and half the population is from Latin America. You get north of Palm Beach County and it's still a big deal. I guess that's probably part of it. We've got a melting pot society here in South Florida. But also, I feel like I don't know about how you feel, Dave. I know you've got Midwest roots as well. It doesn't feel to me like in South Florida we've got that element of kind of each town and the community and a downtown in each place, right? Not, you know, some places do, but that was kind of a big thing growing up, at least. You know, I've lived in the suburbs of Chicago, and like each town kind of had, you know, a downtown area, a little park there. They'd have, you know, at times, you know, like a farmer's market, and they'd have, you know, events downtown. Everybody would go down there, and there was that sense of kind of a main street
feel. And there's a distinctive difference between the towns. Yes. Here, really, Pembroke Pines, Miramar, you're moving from one street just shuffling down the road a little ways, right? I mean, there's real... So, but yeah, there were distinctive differences between... Like, I grew up in Central Ohio, Worthington and Westerville. Each would have... You know, and there was rivalry between the towns almost, so...
And the high schools and the teams and, yeah.
But maybe it's just a different era. Maybe it's not like that up there anymore.
That's true. Yeah, everybody, you know, things evolve. Somebody here says, I agree, Dave, they can't dunk the bun in water either.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm glad we're getting to the bottom of some very important things. Somebody else says, how much do the winners get money-wise? I know they get a mustard belt.
I think they get a lifetime supply of hot dogs. Don't they? would be great.
They get 10 grand. I think there's $40,000 worth of prizes, and there's $10,000 goes to first place. And I also saw, because a lot of people were responding to Peter King on Twitter about this, Darren Revell tweeted to him that...
Oh, God, Darren Revell.
Yeah, that every year Nathan's donates over 100,000 hot dogs to different like shelters and places in the community because they want to give back. I think up in near Coney Island and all of that, so... for everybody who's going to bed hungry at night, they'll get their fill of hot dogs.
I'm glad we've got to the bottom of this. Yeah. You know, gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins.
somebody else says hot dogs are the worst food on the planet. Hmm. I certainly wouldn't go that far. But I don't make a habit of eating hot dogs all the time. But I do think, like on a day like today. It feels.
I'm gonna go a couple places. Worst clue since he included the word planet.
Yes.
He didn't just say in our country. Now in Peru, they serve guinea pigs in restaurants. Guinea pigs are a regular food there. It's an accepted. It's like on the menu. You want guinea pig, you walk by a sign outside restaurants advertising, you know, baked guinea pig. I got to admit, I don't know how they cook it. But the other thing in China, trust me, you can find 50 things to us. And food is really a mental thing. You know, how does that say? Because it's, you know, it's nourishment, but mentally it's, I remember walking, they're selling sheep penises. They're selling sheep lungs on, you know, in a big vat. They're stirring, you know, and here they pick it out. Here's a sheep lung. And I'm like, oh. So trust me, hot dog might not be the worst thing on the planet.
Yeah. We're getting a lot more texts now. People chiming in with their take on not just hot dogs, but maybe we're going to have some people with their own disgusting foods that they want to add to the list.
What is the most disgusting food on the planet? That'd be a good topic.
I mean, guinea pig and... Everything you just mentioned sounds pretty disgusting. We'll come back. We'll read some more text. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. 560-22 is how you reach the program. That's Dave Hyde, Greg Likens filling in for the big dog, and Zach. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. A very good Thursday morning to everybody. A happy 4th of July. Greg Likens alongside Dave Hyde. Matt the Biff Wilson with us as well. So we're taking up until 10 o'clock. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line is open at 560-22 if you want to get involved in the conversation as we're having some fun here on this holiday morning. A lot of people are fired up about what you've asserted here, Dave, as far as the hot dogs and ketchup and everything. Now, somebody says, I went on a field trip in elementary school where they showed us how they make hot dogs. Haven't eaten one since that day 30 years ago.
I think everybody's had that conversation. I remember playing golf once with a guy who worked in a hot dog factory. And he started telling me what, you know, it's like, the snout of pigs, and, you know, it goes on from there. And I'm like, and by the third hole, I don't know how this came up. I'm never eating a hot dog again. You know, and I didn't for a long, and I only eat all beef hot dog, and hoping that there's truth in advertising.
That the label is accurate.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And then they're not just trying to get you to buy it, and then it's really the same thing. Yeah, I mean, we've all heard that before, too. I don't know. For some reason, I think you hit it on the head, Dave, what you said last segment, that food, it's really it's like a mental thing or a psychological thing. And so part of it is whatever the culture is, what societal norms are. So if you are accustomed to something growing up, you just assume it's normal. And you go to some of these foreign countries and some of the examples you provided, it's like, oh my gosh, that's disgusting. We would never eat something like that. But like hot dogs, I feel, is the same way. As a kid, like, you grow up, you're like, you love a hot dog. Like, that's like the best thing in the world up to a certain age. Then you start hearing these rumors about how the hot dog's made. And I don't know about anybody else, but yeah, we've all heard that. And I don't eat hot dogs all that often. But when I do, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I've eaten them since I was growing up.
So. And they are around the world. For instance, I spent a summer in Sweden as a kid, and I still know the word for hot dog in Swedish, varmkorv. You know, it's very bizarre, and I remember eating hot dogs in Sweden. And so I'm trying to think whether I've had hot dogs in other places around the world, but maybe it's not just centralized to the United States.
No, it's not. Well, like, because you think about other places in Europe, I mean, sausages are a big deal, and so yeah. It's, you know, those types of things.
Kielbasa.
Right, yeah. So I don't think it's unique to the United States, although it is. Hot dog is kind of identified as American, right? A dog and a burger.
It's as American as a hot dog. Apple pie.
Correct.
You know, there we go.
Yeah.
That's,
so what I now you got me thinking about this, Dave. What got you to go to Sweden for a summer?
I was just an exchange student for when I was 16, 15.
So they had a program? For that?
They did. Yeah. Hot dog exchange program. I think Nathan's ran it.
They're trying to integrate hot dogs into other societies around the world. And you were the representative.
He was a hot dog missionary.
Spreading the goodwill of hot dogs.
What a distinction, yeah. This long, illustrious journalistic career, right? I mean, you've gone down these paths. You've done all this great work, and it all started by you being a hot dog missionary.
Ambassador. Spreading the goodwill and good nutrition of hot dogs.
Yes. Oh, we as Americans want everybody to be as obese as we are over here, right?
He's as bad as us.
Yes. Oh, enjoy our freedoms and our terrible food. Okay. Okay, we just got some people flat out saying ketchup is disgusting.
Okay, maybe we should play that. Do you think play the Clint Eastwood
you have
tape
it available?
Hot dogs?
Biff, you look like you're thrown off. You're bragging during the commercial break.
Now,
this is a
dated clip. This is when was Dirty Harry? Mid-70s, I'm guessing.
Way before my time.
Way before your time. But Clint Eastwood, you've heard of, right? Okay. So Clint Eastwood played Dirty Harry with a big Magnum gun and a tough guy, just to set up the clip here.
No, this stuff isn't getting to me. The shootings, the knifings, the beatings. Old ladies being bashed in the head for their Social Security checks. Teachers being thrown out of a fourth floor window because they don't give A's. That doesn't bother me a bit.
Come on, Harry, take it easy.
Or this job either, having to wade through the scum of this city, being swept away by bigger and bigger waves of corruption, apathy, and red tape. Nah, that doesn't bother me. But you know what does bother me?
What?
You know what makes me really sick to my stomach?
What?
It's watching you stuff your face with those hot dogs. Nobody, I mean nobody, puts ketchup on a hot dog.
There you go. That is the classic don't put ketchup on a hot dog clip right there. Do not
do it.
That
really is. I mean, you got Clint Eastwood saying that. I mean, if Clint Eastwood said that to your face, you would never eat ketchup with a hot dog ever again.
Never, and nobody should. You know, it should. It's one of those... Look at Biff. He's never heard that clip. He's never heard of Dirty Harry. You've heard of Clint Eastwood, though, right?
Yeah, he was in that terrible baseball movie, right? Where he was like the old scout guy and they had like...
Oh, that was bad. Yeah, yeah.
The old scout guy.
With the daughter.
And yeah,
the
daughter was like trying, a scout. It was like trouble with the curve or something like that, trouble with the pitch or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't, doesn't make the top 50 baseball movies for sure.
Or Clint Eastwood movies.
Or Clint Eastwood, who right. I like his movies. Even now, even, you know, it's sort of like Robert Redford makes really good movies. Clint Eastwood does, too.
Yes. Yeah, you know, always high quality, except for a few exceptions.
Except for a few. Right? Well, yeah. We all swing and miss once in a while.
That's a great clip, though, because it's such an extreme in terms of the examples he's providing. Like all this violence and all these terrible things. He goes, but the worst thing is you putting ketchup on a hot dog.
That puts it into context. What eating a ketchup, what a moral outrage it should be.
We're getting some intel here, Dave. So somebody just simply says, I guess in reference to Biff, says people born after 1995 should never talk, at least on these airwaves. So there's that.
That's a little mean, sir.
Yeah, it is a little.
I'm not vouching for that. I'm just merely passing along the message. Somebody else says Miami Lakes has a concert and fireworks in the park. Very small town feel. Okay.
Okay.
So Miami Lakes, maybe a location for those who want to get back to some of those roots. And somebody else is letting us know that Iceland has the best hot dogs, according to our texter, 50% lamb and beef.
50% lamb and beef. That would top any hot dog you're going to get in the United States for sure, right?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So Iceland.
If you want to have a good hot dog, go to Reykjavik.
Yeah, maybe an expensive trip, but once you get there, you're going to have a great hot dog. That's going to be the new thing. Like, because Iceland's becoming very. Have you been to Iceland?
No,
it's become a very popular spot to vacation.
I was looking at last summer and this summer going and never went elsewhere.
Well, now you have even more reason to go.
Go to hot dog. Yeah, yeah, In fact, that's probably a we don't even know. It's probably a good tourist symbol. Come for our hot dogs.
Imagine. Oh, my goodness. You can go there. Beautiful scenery. Right. And by all accounts, you see, you know, nature and just unbelievable landscape and all that. And oh, by the way, have a half lamb, half beef hot dog while you're there.
You could eat that while enjoying the scenery.
Yes. Yes, you could.
We put Nathan's to shame.
Right. All right, Dave. We're going to take a time. I'll come back, kick off the 7 o'clock hour. I do want to talk some sports and I want to get into what's going on NBA free agency. Kawhi Watch continues. What's the latest with that? We'll discuss when we come back here on QAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.